And for the rest of you, we'd like to welcome you this morning. This is a special morning as we think about our mothers, their hard work, and we would like to wish you a happy Mother's Day. You're welcome. I want to be honest with you this morning. I've been given a difficult task, and that task was to preach my very first Mother's Day sermon. I'll tell you why that was a difficult task. I do not have any experience in that area of life, being a mother. Amen. One thing that I can say is this, though. I have had the honor, the privilege, and the experience of watching my kids grow up in a home with a godly mother. I've had the honor, the privilege, and the experience of growing up in a home and of having a godly mother myself. I've had the honor, the privilege, and the experience of marrying into a family with a godly mother-in-law. And I've had the honor, the privilege, and the experience of growing up with two godly grandmothers. So even though I don't have any experience in that area personally, what I can say this morning is that I've been impacted personally by this God-given role. Why don't we open up in a word of prayer, and then we're going to get started today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your great love for us. Father, we thank you that you took us and you placed us into your family. As we think of that song that we sung, Lord, we just give you praise for that. We want to thank you for the mothers this morning. We want to lift them up before you. We thank you for their hard work, for their care, Lord, and we pray that you would bless them in a special way today as well. Father, we thank you for your word, that you've communicated to us through it, that we might know you more and grow with you more in our walk with you. And Father, we pray that you would use your word in a mighty way today. Thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen. There are three institutions in the Bible that God has specifically ordained. God has established family. He's established government, and he has established the church. It is no surprise to me that what we see today is an attack in these three institutions from Satan himself: family, government, and the church. As of lately, what we have seen in our culture, in our society, is that there has been this attempt to redefine what a family looks like. I believe now more than ever, a godly mother is so important in the lives of her children. If you know me, you know that when I begin by preaching, I like to jump right into the text that we're going to be looking at. That's not what I'm going to do today. I would like us to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But I need to say, however, that we will not be spending the majority of our time in this passage. But I do believe that we see a very important theological truth right here from this text that we need to draw out. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, I'd like you to read along with me if you have your Bibles open. It says this: "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. But you once were not a people, but now you are a people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Before we begin this morning, I believe it is important that we remind ourselves of this truth: that the moment one places their faith in Jesus Christ, they are placed into the family of God. That is so critical for us to remember. As we look around this room, you may look to the person in the pew next to you, behind you, around you, and that person is your brother or sister in Christ. We need to remember that when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we're placed into the family of God. It might be that maybe you've stepped in here this morning and maybe you are really grieving over the loss of a loved one. Maybe you've stepped in here this morning, maybe you're grieving over a rebellious child. Maybe it is you've stepped in here this morning and you'd say, you know what? We don't even really have kids. I want to say this, that when we place our faith in Christ, we're placed into the family of God. And that's something that we need to remember. That as we're placed into the family of God, God gives each and every one of us specific roles. As I think about that, the Holy Spirit is active in administrating spiritual gifts. God has delegated roles for offices within specific church functions. He is deeply interested, he is concerned, and has given much instruction on how Christians are to interact with each other. And so I want you to be mindful of that this morning, that the moment you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you recognize, you know what, I'm a sinner, I'm in need of a Savior. Jesus Christ paid the way in full. He came to this world, he died on a cross, he resurrected from that grave, and that simply by believing in him, you are made right with God. When you trust in him, Scripture says you are saved and you are placed into his family. I believe that God has given, in that context, older women roles, older ladies. You can minister to some of the younger women in this church body that I can't minister to them in some of those ways as you can. And vice versa for some of the younger ladies and for all of us. This morning, the topic at hand will be the topic of godliness. As I was thinking about this sermon and the direction we would go, we're going to be looking at godliness. And we are going to see this morning two examples of godly mothers in the Scriptures. Now, my question is this before we get started. Should a message on godliness only be applied to mothers? No. It's to be applied for all of us. Before we get to our main text, turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Verses 11 and 12. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. It says this: For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That's for all believers. Turn with me to our main text this morning in 2 Timothy. We're going to spend our time in one verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. The Apostle Paul is writing to a young man in the ministry by the name of Timothy. And the Apostle Paul calls Timothy to remember the example of some of those examples that have had a tremendous impact on his life. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says this: For I am mindful, the Apostle Paul writes, of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. I read a verse too much. We're going to be in verse 5, though. Godliness is something every mother should strive for. And in this text, what we are going to see is that godliness bears with it three qualities. Godliness bears with it three qualities. Before we look at those qualities of a godly woman, I want to point out that our culture has a completely different idea of what a mother looks like. Our society says that a mother should look this way. God's word shows us examples of some godly mothers right here that we are about to look at. Timothy's grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice were two ladies who were in the world. I believe they were not of the world. These two ladies had a tremendous ministry. Don't forget that. They had a tremendous ministry. They made an effort and were intentional to make sure that those who were closest to them understood that they were personally impacted by the grace of God. Now, when we talk about godliness today, we are going to see these three qualities. I'd like to give these three qualities to you right off the bat. The very first quality that we are going to look at will be that godliness is lasting. Godliness is lasting. This is the first quality. The second quality that we will see in this text is that godliness is impactful. And the third quality that we will see is that godliness is influential. It is lasting, impactful, and it is influential. The very first quality is that it is lasting. In the Bible, we find a young man by the name of Timothy. He has a love for the Word of God and for the work of God. Timothy had something in his day that was very rare. He came from a godly heritage. That's something that's becoming more and more rare today. He came from a godly heritage. Notice with me what the Apostle Paul writes. He says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice." That word dwelt there, this sincere faith, it first dwelt in your grandmother and then in your mother, Timothy. That's what the Apostle Paul is reminding Timothy of. That word dwelt there is a Greek word the Greek word is enoikeo and is used five times in the New Testament. It speaks of being situated or to occupy within. This sincere faith that Timothy's grandmother had occupied within her. That sincere faith occupied within her. There was a point in time when Timothy's grandmother, being a Jew, had heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and she ended up trusting in him as her Savior. Now, I want us to think about how special this is. Here we have a lady who heard the gospel message. She understood that she was a sinner. She understood that she was in need of a Savior, and she trusted in Jesus Christ. Then, Timothy's mother comes to faith in Jesus Christ. This is a wonderful thing that we have laid out for us right here in this text. This gospel truth that God has wanted mankind to know, that Jesus Christ came into this world to die and to resurrect. These two ladies came to faith in him. This is miraculous. And then Timothy comes to faith in Jesus Christ as well. God is at work in this family. I think of the passage, don't turn there. It's in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. I'd like to read it for you. It says this: "As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and built up in him and established in your faith." I believe Timothy's grandmother and his mother were rooted. They were established in their walk with the Lord. It has been said that the conversion of a soul is the miracle of a moment. The manufacture of the saint is the task of a lifetime. And what we see in these two ladies' lives is that godliness was the result. What we know in the scripture is that Timothy's grandmother had a relationship with her daughter that pointed her to her Savior. Her relationship with God left a legacy on her daughter's life. Her relationship with God left a legacy on her daughter's life. I want you to track with me on this. Timothy's grandmother, Lois, is only mentioned one time in the scriptures. And the legacy that she left transcended time. Even though she was a grandmother to Timothy, she left for him a legacy. And then we get a glimpse into Timothy's home life. The faith of his grandmother was passed down to his mother, Eunice. Eunice is first mentioned in Acts chapter 16. Verse 1, what we find out about her there is that she's a Jew. She has married a Greek. But we know, too, from that text is that she is a believer. She came to faith in Jesus Christ. So I want you to notice with me a quality of this woman. Turn with me. Keep your hand here in 2 Timothy. We're just going to turn a few pages over to the third chapter. I want us to note something very important, a very important quality that Timothy's mother had. We find it right here in verses 14 and 15. It says this, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." There is no doubt in my mind that this man, Timothy, started to get a biblical understanding. He started to grow in his knowledge of the Word of God because his mom saw it as something that was very important that she would do, that she would instill within her son the Word of God. I want to talk about this for a moment. We're talking about leaving behind a godly legacy. And the first quality of godliness is lasting. And we saw how godliness in Timothy's grandmother transferred because of her faith in Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, she came to faith in Christ. Then what we saw is that by the grace of God, her daughter, Eunice, Timothy's mother, comes to faith in Jesus Christ. Then by the grace of God, God would take this young man, Timothy, he would end up coming to faith in Jesus Christ, and he would come alongside the Apostle Paul and help him out in the ministry. We're talking about how this is a lasting legacy. Timothy, and this is something that sticks out to me, had some kind of knowledge concerning Scripture at an early age. Moms and dads, I want to say to us this morning, I believe one of the most important things that we can do as parents is instill within our children the Word of God. Our kids are so moldable, they're so shapeable. I had the opportunity to sit down with my oldest daughter, Emily. She's 3.5 years old. And this past week, she quoted for me a Bible verse that she had been working on for a very long time. And it just amazed me. She's walking around the house. She's singing songs. She can memorize things. It is incredible. We have got an incredible privilege as parents to be able to train them up in the Word of God, to get them to memorize Scripture. I remember growing up, my brother and I, we grew up in a home where our parents placed it as a priority to go to church on Sunday morning. I'll never forget that. Our kids remember where we place our priorities. They didn't just make it so that we would go to the morning service, the main service, but that we would go to Sunday school as well. And it was in Sunday school that my brother and I learned a lot of Bible stories from the Old Testament, and God used that. I want to encourage you, some of you parents, we've got a Sunday school class right before the main service here. I want to challenge you, I want to encourage you to be a part of that, to make that a priority to be here for that. The second quality that we see, the first one was what? It was lasting. The second quality that we see is that godliness is impactful. Godliness is impactful. Godliness extends beyond our families into the lives of those around us. Turn back with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. We're going to continue along. We've got a pretty good idea as far as who Timothy's grandmother is and who his mother is, Eunice. And the Apostle Paul writes these words. He says, "For I am mindful of." The Apostle Paul couldn't help but notice the impact that these two godly women had on Timothy's life, and he wrote to Timothy to remind them of their example. What is interesting to me is this, that as the Apostle Paul is writing this letter, he's writing to Timothy, and he reminds him of these two beautiful ladies in his life. In the context, he's reminding him of these two ladies in the context of this. Don't miss it. In the context of encouragement. He's reminding them in the context of encouragement. I believe that Timothy had come to a point in his life, in his ministry, where he was discouraged. You've got a time period of about 15, give or take, years between 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And in that time frame, the Apostle Paul, this would have been Timothy's spiritual mentor, is locked up in a prison in Rome, and he's looking forward to death, the Apostle Paul is. And Timothy knows this. He knows that the Apostle Paul is in prison. And I think this may have been a discouraging thing for him. Timothy not only had seen that with the Apostle Paul, had witnessed that, but he also was living in an area that was very immoral. It was a very corrupt area. And he was preaching a message that was and still is very offensive to people. And that message was, look, there is nothing we can do to be right with God. It is by faith in Jesus Christ one is made right with God. That's not a popular message. When you go out and you start witnessing to people and you start telling them about what Jesus Christ has done for them, people don't want to simply believe that message. This wasn't a popular message. And then to be living in a very sinful, lust-craved city did not help as well. Katie and I have a friend who is in the process of planting a church in a very sinful city in our nation, Las Vegas. We had the opportunity to go out there and to visit him. This was in his internship a couple of years ago. And I was kind of excited, to be honest with you, to go to Vegas. But when we got there, my friend just kind of gave us a quick tour of the city. We walked downtown. Nothing special. I got to tell you, I've got no desire to go back to that city again. This, I believe, was the kind of city Timothy was ministering in. And the Apostle Paul is writing him in the context of encouragement here. And he says, Timothy, I want you to think on your mother and your grandmother. I want you to think on their testimony that they have had in your life. I want you to think on the impact that they made in your life. The Apostle Paul writes, I want you to be mindful of this. I want you to remember these people that God used in your life, and I want you to reflect upon the priority they placed on the Word of God. That would have been tremendously encouraging for Timothy to have seen these two godly women who had played a very important role in his life right here at the very beginning of this letter. Not only is the impact of godliness encouraging for any believer, but it is noticeable. Moms, stay-at-home moms, I believe you have the hardest job in the world. I really do believe that. For instance, Katie had the opportunity to go down to Green Bay for a day. I had all three kids the whole day. And let me just say that by the end of that trip down to Green Bay, I was ready for her to be back. And the truth is, moms, you do that day in, day out, day in, day out. And on top of that, you've got housework, and it can get to be pretty crazy. And it might seem as though nobody notices. It's a ministry that goes on and on. It goes on. It continues. It doesn't stop. I just want us to be mindful of this, that the Apostle Paul noticed. People do notice, mothers. They notice your hard work. And so what I want to say to you this morning is this. Keep tugging along. Keep tugging along. Mothers, stay-at-home moms, keep tugging along. I want to encourage you, keep at it. For some of the older ladies in this church, as we think about this being the body of Christ, I want to encourage you to keep tugging along, to keep ministering to these younger women that are here in this church, in this body. Keep tugging along, because at the end of the day, what matters is not that man notices, but God notices. Which brings us to the third quality on our list, and that is that godliness is influential. Godliness is influential. Paul knew that the faith of Timothy's mother was influential in his life. He says this, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you." And then at the end of that verse, he says, "I am sure that it is in you as well." I believe that this refers not only to saving faith when Paul writes the sincere faith, but to their faith in sound doctrine and teaching. Paul was not doubting Timothy in his position before God. He was affirming that he personally believed that what Timothy's mother and grandmother lived out and taught were passed down to him. One commentator put it this way. This commentator said that this is a strong affirmation of continuing confidence in the Spirit's work in Timothy's life and ministry. The influence of a godly mom in her home is tremendous. It is absolutely tremendous. Abraham Lincoln once said this. He said, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life." You see, but we're living in a society, in a culture, and it can be hard to remind ourselves of this truth, that it really does matter what we do with our kids. It really does matter how we train them up. It really does matter how we parent. Our culture has gone so far to say that there will be no repercussions of having two mommies or two daddies. But when we get back to the Word of God, which is ultimately what we should always do, we find that this God-given role is exceptionally important. We have a lot of godly examples in the Scriptures. Let me just name a few. Sarah, the mother of Isaac, had an influence in her home. Hannah, the mother of Samuel the prophet. Mary, the mother of Jesus. That list can go on and on and on this morning. As we close this morning, I would like us to reflect upon a godly mother. This mother happens to be the mother of a well-known missionary who went out to China. His name was Hudson Taylor. Interesting, I picked up a book on Hudson Taylor's life. Extremely ordinary guy. God took him and used him in some extraordinary ways. Just amazing to look at this guy's life. If you look at his life, you wouldn't say, you know, that thing really just jumps out. That thing really just makes his life pop. But what we do see in his life is that he had two godly parents. And I was reading about his conversion. And what's interesting is that his mother played a part in that. And I wanted to share that with you this morning. The beginning of it all was a quiet hour among his father's books. When young, he sought something to interest him. This would have been Hudson Taylor. His mother was away from home and the boy was missing her. The house seemed empty, so he took the story he found to a favorite corner in the old warehouse, thinking he would read it. Many miles away, the mother was specially burdened that Saturday afternoon about her only son. Leaving her friends, she went alone to plead with God for her salvation. Hour after hour passed while that mother was still upon her knees, until her heart was flooded with a joyful assurance that her prayers were heard and answered. The boy was reading, meanwhile, the booklet he had picked up, and as the story merged into something more serious, he was arrested by the words, "The finished work of Christ." Who can explain the mystery of the Holy Spirit's working? Truth long familiar, though neglected, came back to mind and heart. Why does the writer use those words, he questioned. Why does he say the atoning work of Christ? Immediately, it is finished. Shown out as in letters of light. Finished. What was finished? A full and perfect atonement for sin, his heart replied. The debt was paid by the great substitute. Christ died for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Then come the thought with startling clearness, if the whole work is finished, the whole debt paid, what is there left for me to do? The one, the only answer, took possession of his soul. There was nothing in the world for me to do except to fall upon my knees and accepting the Savior and his salvation to praise him forevermore. Old doubts and fears were gone. The reality of the wonderful experience we call conversion filled him with peace and joy. New life came with that simple acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. For to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And great was the change that new life brought, longing to share his newfound joy with his mother. He was the first to welcome her on her return. I know, my boy, I know, she said with her arms about him. I have been rejoicing for a fortnight in the glad news you have to tell me. Do not dismiss the opportunity, husbands, fathers, mothers, grandparents. Do not dismiss the impact that godliness can make on the lives of those around you and in your homes. Ladies, you have a role that is very important and can make an amazing impact in the lives of those around you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love for us, and we thank you for your grace. Father, we are reminded of the fact that Jesus Christ came to this world, he died and he resurrected, and it might be that someone may have come in here this morning and has never trusted in you as their Savior. Help them to realize that they are a sinner in need of a Savior. Father, and help them to know as well that by simply trusting in you, they are made right with you. Father, we thank you for that message. Lord, we thank you for your people. We thank you for your church. We thank you for the family that you have called us to in your church. Lord, we thank you for the roles that you give to each and every one of us. Each one of our roles are so different from the others. And Lord, yet your desire is that you would use us for your glory. We give you praise for that this morning. And Father, we want to pray that you would continue to encourage and to strengthen those mothers today, Father, who have this ongoing ministry. We pray that you would bless them in a special way. Father, I pray that you would bless everyone this week in a special way as we leave this place. In your name we pray. Amen.